virtualization mini-conf. I hope everybody remembers that. First presentation is by Jonathan Oxer. I have a little bio here for him. He's president of the Linux Australia, convener of the Debian mini-conf for the last 5 years, author of several books, including How to Build a Website and Stay Sane and Ubuntu Hacks, and is founder and technical director of e-business development for company Internet Vision Technologies, where much of his time is spent wrestling with development and deployment infrastructure. So here's Jonathan.
Great, thank you.
These guys are fun. And great. If anybody has any questions, just wave your hand and I'm going to try to get you the mic.
Yeah, and on that topic, I like presentations to be very interactive. So if you've got, rotten tomatoes to throw and things like that, don't wait till the end, just bring them out there. And if you've got questions and things like that, just ask. What I'm going to talk about is a problem that I came up with once I started really using Xen in particular on production systems, putting images into production use for web servers and various things like that. A lot of the problem space in terms of managing virtual machines has a lot of overlap with managing real machines. When you are managing running instances in terms of configuration and things like that, a lot of those tools have been around for a long time. The problem that I had was in the actual storage mechanism. Where do you stick the images themselves? And where do you stick them in a way that you can have some level of redundancy? How to migrate virtual machines between running nodes in a cluster of Xen boxes and things like that. When you start asking this question on the mailing list, there are a whole bunch of answers that people throw out. People say, okay, use NFS, but it doesn't work under load. And it does? Okay. Maybe it can be made to work. I couldn't. I had the nasty experience of setting up a system running with a whole bunch of NFS routes. All worked fine in testing, load tested it, put it into production, and 2 days later it fell over. And I had some very unhappy customers, so it wasn't a very good situation. The other thing they say is, go fiber channel, and I don't have a wallet that fat. ATA over Ethernet, they're iSCSI, there are a whole lot of different technologies that are mentioned in relation to ways to share block devices and how to store disk images. So basically what I tried to do initially, after the NFS didn't work out so well, was to go down the poor man's SAN sort of route. People talk about, okay, use ATA over Ethernet or iSCSI or some technology like that to export your block devices across the network and then import them in each of the front-end nodes, and away you go. It's easy. So this is what I started doing. Let's build ourselves a little storage box. We'll call it SAN1A. Start off putting a couple of disks in it, and you RAID them up, and then another pair of disks and RAID them up. So we've got ourselves, RAID 10 to give ourselves some redundancy. On top of that, you put in LVM. So we have MD2 as the device. So we've got an LVM physical volume. Then we define a volume group. On top of that, you have a logical volume. And then here we have a block device that we can use to store all our images on. And in some cases, you might want to set it up so you've got multiple block devices. Now, for redundancy, you don't want all of this in one box. So let's build ourselves another one. And to make sure that everything stays in sync, we'll run DRBD across them so that you've made changes in one and it propagates to the other. And then what we can do is use something like VBlade, so ATA over Ethernet, to export that block device. And then we need an actual host, like a node, to run the virtual machines on. So you build one of those as well. And then you use ATA over Ethernet. You import that block device, put a file system on it, which I tried playing with OCFS2 and had some problems. It's red there, not because that's Novell's color. Oracle's color. And then at this point, you have yourself a file system to actually write things into. So, of course, you're not going to do this with just one front-end host. So then you need a second host and a third and a fourth and so on. So this is just to the point of actually having a file system. So nothing could possibly go wrong, right? That was how I felt after a couple of weeks of struggling with this. This was meant to be easier. So it all fell over in a rather nasty way. So I tried to think of an alternative way to do this, and I thought, okay, what we need, when it all comes down to it, we need running instances with storage to get rid of all of the stuff that sits behind it. I want to try to simplify this as much as possible. So I started working on a little bunch of scripts that would help me manage and solve this problem. I call it Zen Image Manager. Now, a lot of people think it's because that name, you know, it's kind of logical, it makes sense. But the real reason is that when I was working on it, I wanted to be able to type this. Now, if I'd used one of those other fine editors, I would have had to have named the project something different. But the problem is that I'm no good at coming up with acronyms that are that long, and I just couldn't find anything that fitted nicely. So, the general architecture, the way I've worked with this is, we don't start with a storage system as a separate node. Start with a Zen host. So this is the host that you're actually going to be running your virtual machine on. So in our case, we've got, we'll run ourselves with three nodes at the front end, and we want to have virtual machines running on these. Now, this diagram will help explain some of the concepts of the way I'm managing this and some of the problems that I've still got. I'm not presenting this as a solution by any means. This is only a work in progress. There's a lot of stuff that is totally busted, which I'll show you later. And I'm up for suggestions or help on all of this as well. So first thing we do is we have three machines with public Ethernet interfaces, and then we'll stick another switch behind it so we've got network interfaces that we can use for, you know, shuffling data between the nodes without impacting bandwidth on the public side. So start with creating a partition. In this particular case, it'll be something like an LVM partition on one of the nodes. So we've got a partition here for virtual machine 1, and then we've got virtual machine 1 in a running state on the same physical box. So all storage is local, which means we get full disk throughput and things like that. We don't have worries about, you know, reliability of the network or extra infrastructure. It's all just running right there. And then similarly, we have virtual machine 2, which could be running on a different node. Sorry, am I blocking that? No, I'm not that tall. And then for a bit of redundancy, what we could do is take a copy of the image and shuffle it onto a different machine. So in this case, we've got images for VM2 and VM1 on different boxes to the running instance. And the reason they're orange is that they are not necessarily the latest version of the data. So it's a copy of the image, but it's not 100% up to date because all reads and writes are happening from the actual live image. So this one's aged a little bit. And then similarly, we can have VM3 with a backup. And you can then have multiple copies across different nodes within the cluster. So we could have here an even more aged copy of VM1 and an even more aged copy of VM2. So in this particular case, if Zen1 and Zen2 nodes blew up, then we'd still have copies of VM1 and VM2 on Zen3 and, you know, that sort of thing. So it gives you an extra level of redundancy. And then in another case, we have VM4. In this particular case, you'll see that there is no other instance of the actual disk image itself. It's a running virtual machine, but it only has a single disk instance, whereas others have, in that example, we have a couple with three disk instances and one with two. So the general approach, what I was trying to do was remove the reliance on external storage, keep all of the storage local within the actual nodes themselves, and then figure out some way of managing copying that information between all of the different nodes. So what I do basically is use LVM to store the images directly on the nodes, and then I use snapshots to move stuff around, and the Zen Image Manager itself surveys the nodes to figure out what's there, because that's one of the other problems I've found as well. It's all very well when you've got one or two Zen hosts and you've got a couple of virtual machines running on it, and you might have a backup of a virtual machine, you know, sitting on another box. It very, very rapidly gets out of hand, and you can lose track of what's running where. One of the first things that I did once I started deploying a bunch of Zen nodes was write a little tool that would go around and survey all of the nodes and say, okay, what images are you running right now? And then generate a report. And it would say, okay, so on this particular node, I have these images running. This particular node, I have these images running. Problem comes when you lose a node and you don't know what images were on it. So it's very important to maintain that sort of information and things as well. So it also does the job of surveying nodes to find available resources, which is both in terms of what nodes you have available, what spare capacity they have, and what actual images and things are running on it. And as I mentioned, it uses snapshots to propagate images between nodes. And this is where some of the difficulty comes into, which I'll get to in a second. And it also encapsulates XM functionality for convenience. So basically, you can just do XIM blah instead of XM, So it's sort of like a superset of the XM functionality. So what works right now? At the moment, the basic stuff, there are lots and lots of scripts around that do this, but I encapsulated all of this into one little management thing to, for convenience sake. So if I have a copy of a master image, it might be a standard web server image or something like that, what you can do is go zim build and then define a domain group, which could be web servers, and then the domain name, which could be web server 27. And it will go away and build it, create the config file, set up the image, set up swap image, all of that sort of stuff happens for you. You can demolish existing ones, so you can remove all traces. So it takes away the config file, takes away the images, removes everything out of LVM, cleans up after itself. So if you're doing testing and you're going around building lots of images, it can be tedious after a while in going around removing all the traces of them. So this just cleans up after you. What also works relatively well at the moment, but there are some little glitches with, is propagating a snapshot between nodes. So if you have, in the diagram we had earlier, we had, say, virtual machine run 1 running on Zenhost 1, and we want to propagate a copy of that to another node, it does that relatively well. What kind of works is surveying. So it has, basically what I've done is, a lot of this functionality is meant to be looked at a meta sort of level. It's not managing an individual VM, it's managing a whole bunch of VMs. And so for testing purposes, what I've done is expose some internal functionality. So you can basically pass a command to Zim, and it will execute an internal method, which then goes off and does surveys and returns raw data and things like that. But it's not all nicely wrapped yet. Basically, it's for testing the internal methods of Zim itself. So that kind of works, but the reporting on that isn't very nice just yet. And this comes down to an issue. Where to go from here comes down to an issue which we'll get to in a second, which there is a problem with conceptualizing the way this information is presented and the way it's stored. What doesn't work at all is relocation of a running virtual machine. This is not quite the same way. It's basically a dumb way of doing a relocation. Because you don't have shared storage, you can't do things like pass memory structures around between Zen nodes. You have to essentially shut down a running virtual machine then bring it up on another node. The general process for this is pretty straightforward, but basically it's a matter of shut down the node, resync, start it up on the other node, but I want to have that all happen totally automatically so you don't have to be running around with scripts on different terminals and trying to synchronize everything. You issue one command and it happens as fast as possible. Automatic migration is something that I also want to add to it. This will be dependent on things like imagine that we have a node that goes down and you lose all the virtual machines that are on it. You want to bring those VMs back up on another node. So you need a system that will find the latest copies of that particular disk image and then bring the node back up on some available hardware, wherever it happens to be in your cluster. Resource utilization management, it doesn't do yet. This is something that I think would be really nice. I'd like to be able to say, for example, this particular VM needs lots of resources, and so I want to push all of the other running instances off this node in the cluster. Yeah, that sort of thing. And also sharing status and config between nodes. One of the difficulties that I face with this is that in all of these sorts of scenarios, you tend to have a management node. And I'm trying to get away from that. I'm trying really hard. I haven't succeeded yet, but I'm working on it. So what happens is normally you have a console or some machine that you use as a management system that knows the status of all of the other machines in your cluster. And it can push configs out, it can make changes and things like that. What I would really like to be able to do is have independent instances of Zim running on each of the nodes in the cluster, because I want that totally flat topology that I was showing in the diagram before. I want to be able to connect to any node in the cluster and get a report on every virtual machine running on every node. And when you start getting into that sort of thing, you end up with some issues. But if people are willing to help on that sort of thing, I'd love to hear. So talk to me afterwards. So problems. This is in terms of propagation between nodes. So we've got a copy of a virtual machine running on Zen 1. We want to take a snapshot and move it to Zen 2. So the general procedure is very simple. All you do is use LVM snapshot, mount the snapshot, so you've got an image of the file system mounted at that particular point in time. At the moment, I'm using X3. Any suggestions? Yeah, so that could be done directly without using LVM. Okay. Yep, cool. So for those that couldn't hear, the comment was that XFS file systems can be frozen in the same way as snapshotting in LVM. So that could be done, that could be used to achieve the same end result. Basically, that would mean not needing the snapshot kernel module, I think it is. Yeah. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. So you freeze at XFS level. Yeah, and then you snapshot underneath it. Yeah. Naively, that's how. that's actually one of the other problems is trust between nodes. That's a problem that I haven't solved yet. So who made that comment? You did. Okay, yeah. That's a very good observation. One of these issues as well is when you're shuffling all of this data around between these nodes, you either need them all to trust each other or to trust one management node. And because I'm trying to go for a totally decentralized approach, the big problem is you have to have all of your all of the boxes in your cluster totally trusting all of the others and letting them rewrite their file systems and doing stuff like that. So that is a danger. That's another thing that really needs to be examined. Yes, was it a comment?
I have a question about the architecture you're planning to go with, like using local file system on the Xen host for the partitions.
Yes.
And not using external storage server or device.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand partly the motivation for this. Sure, you have problems with all your synchronization between the Xen hosts. What happens if in your Xen clusters one node is going down hard? So you are not able to access the file system, the local file system of the running VM anymore.
Yep.
And you need to bring up this VM on a second Xen host. How you can be sure that the file system status is in sync?
Yeah. Well,
if you're not using external storage. If you were using an external storage,
then of course the storage is
you will be out of problem. What I can see is that using live migration and having external storage devices which are attached to each Xen host, each mm-hmm. Xen host will see exactly the same partition or for the VM.
If you're using just web servers and then, their content might be coming from somewhere else, or it's actually not that bad if, you miss a bit of logs or something like that, if you lose a node. Whereas, say, you're running a mail server, obviously people lose mail, they get a bit more upset.
Yeah, that's a good
point. I think in your case, you're running mostly web servers, and so it's actually not critical.
That's true. So it's not such a big problem. It is a compromise. There are certainly other deployment scenarios where it is absolutely critical that you can't lose any state at all at any point in time, in which case you really need that extra level of redundancy. So what I'm trying to do is simplify things and make that compromise to the point where it's easier to manage, and also it scales out in a very flat, parallel way. The other problem that you come up with, say, a shared storage mechanism is that you can't just keep adding extra nodes ad infinitum, because basically you're not scaling linearly. Obviously with this technique you have problems with bandwidth across the storage network where all of the nodes are communicating, but that doing irregular backups and state and config information passing across that shared network is vastly less traffic than having all of your disk I/O pumping through that network all the time. So the idea is that this should be able to scale out horizontally a lot more to a cluster of a large number of nodes. Okay, question, yes.
Yeah, are you doing anything at the moment to manage the situation where you get a hard fail of a node mid-sync? I mean, I can see you've got the capability in there in that you're keeping multiple image copies. So you've got the one you're syncing and the older one. Are you planning to fail gracefully in that?
I'd really like to. That's one of those meta problems. At the moment, what I'm doing is putting in place the infrastructure to actually do the copies and do all those sorts of things.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What I need beyond that is the meta information about the current running state and
the current synchronization state.
Yeah, I'll get to that in just a moment when we start talking about config as well. When you actually start storing config information for all of this thing and the desired run state, then you start to run into some issues as well. But you need to be able to degrade, like to fail gracefully in that sort of situation, which ends up in you need to start looking at fencing issues and things like that as well. So in terms of the actual mechanism of doing a direct copy between nodes, the two technologies basically that I've played with are Rsync and Unison. How many people here have used Unison? A couple. It's pretty cool. It's for those of you that don't know, it's a rewrite based on the Rsync algorithm. So it does transfer of deltas and things like that, but it's designed to be bidirectional. So you can have two different copies and say sync them, and it will sync changes in both directions. And it's also it has a built-in mechanism to. Well, I'll get to this in just a second. So Rsync. So the big advantage of Rsync is that it's really smart in terms of the kinds of things that it can copy. You can take a snapshot of a running VM, including all of the device nodes and everything, Rsync it, and you'll end up with a proper copy at the other end. You can boot it. It'll work. Everything is there. Unison can't do device nodes. So if you do a copy, you end up missing large chunks of your file system, and not just just device nodes. There are a couple of other special file types and device types and things that you can't do as well. Rsync can't do remote-to-remote. Now, this is not necessarily such a problem once you have a totally decentralized system, because what happens is that individual nodes are communicating with each other. If you have a copy of a disk image on one node and you're copying it to another, you could be initiating that locally and pushing it to the other node or pulling it to yourself. So that's not a problem. If you have a central management server that is saying, okay, I want that machine over there to copy that image to that machine over there, you can't just rsync between those two remote locations. With Unison, you can. You can say, copy that one to that one, and it will do it very, very neatly. Rsync has the advantage that it honors the set UID bit.
John?
Yes. Sorry, what was that?
Yeah.
I'm lost.
Yep.
Yeah, yes.
Would you really want to do remote copies? Aren't you transferring the data over the network twice?
Yes, you are. But if you're having a central management node to do this, which was how I've started off, then it's kind of necessary, unless you want to have like a child script on each of the end machines, and then you launch the script and say, okay, I want you to copy from there to there. So essentially you're triggering a remote script. So this is not a showstopper, it's just one of the differences between these two tools. So Rsync honors the set UID bit. This is one of the problems that I came up with when I tried Unison, was I copied an image over and recreated all the device nodes and things like that, booted it up, and none of the set UID programs worked. So you couldn't change a password or anything like that. Turns out that Unison explicitly ignores the set UID bit when it's doing a transfer. So it's only like a one-line patch, you can fix it, but it's just something that'll catch you if you're not aware of it. Rsync uses lots of memory and time. It's got to recurse through the tree and build a big list of files and checksums and things like that. Unison is specifically designed to be really, really fast and to also remember state between, it stores information basically. Rsync doesn't touch your file system once it's done its thing, whereas Unison actually keeps little files around that says, hey, I last copied this file at this date, or this was the checksum and things like that. And so it means that you can do synchronizations between quite big images really fast. So you can have a file system, with 10 or 20 gig of data in it, do sync from here to here, and it will literally be like a couple of seconds and it's done. So that's a really big advantage of Unison. So at the right now I'm using Rsync to do these copies, but Unison is a really interesting tool as well. I did backup. No, I haven't. And then you could ignore that information on the destination anyway.
The other useful thing about that is you get a state. So with Rsync, you have to know something Actually, it was a broader comment. Why are you mounting the file, the snapshot, in order to sync it?
Good question. Do I not need to?
There are two questions. One is, first, why don't you sync the device to device? If you do so, make sure you set your block size on rsync equal to the block size of the file system.
Yep.
Secondly, why use rsync? Because if you've got LVM snapshots, LVM internally will be able to tell you if you took the last snapshot here and took that snapshot here, here are the blocks that have changed. I mean, that's its job. Okay. So you should be able to dig in underneath somewhere and get, you know, just the list of blocks that have changed,
mm-hmm.
and dump that out somehow. Cool. You may have to dig in. But
okay.
I mean, LVM, if as long as you've got an accurate snapshot.
Yeah, okay, you can do that.
Just,
I want to patch. Wasn't
it
you that said feature requests will be accepted at our company by patches?
Yeah. I'm just saying that you overcome a lot of these issues by going a little bit lower level, a little bit simpler, and a few less layers might be a consideration. I'm sure there are eager people to implement it here.
Looking elsewhere. Okay, that's a very good point. I'll need to look into LVM a bit more deeply. I've got to admit, before I started doing this, I hadn't really done anything much with LVM, like only very peripherally as a user, basically. So I don't really know very much about the internals of it, and there's probably a whole bunch of stuff that I could take advantage of that I don't know about, so thanks for that pointer. There's a question down here, a comment.
Yeah, have you looked... try that again, I probably don't need the mic. Have you looked at snapshotting the target before you do the import? So that you can roll back the target?
I haven't done that, no. That's probably a good idea, because that way you don't have to rely on having a third copy if both your nodes have problems while you're doing the copy. Yeah, that would be an extra little bit of insurance. Okay, thank you. So, another question.
Sorry, you can elaborate on the actual problems you have with the shared storage.
Okay.
What led to this in the first place?
I've only got 10 minutes left, so I might come back to this at the end. So remind me if I forget, and we've still got time. Okay, so config conundrum. So how do you configure all of this? Okay, so we've got a whole bunch of images. We've got a bunch of virtual machines. We've got a bunch of nodes. And we need to say what we want that whole big picture to look like at the end of the day. So per node, so these are the actual physical boxes that we're running all of this on, we want to know what their capacity is in terms of RAM and disk and all of that sort of thing. And also the availability. You might want to have nodes that are in your cluster and your system knows about it, but don't deploy anything on those just yet. Or maybe you just want to store snapshots on them and not actually bring up any running VMs. So meta information like that you need to keep track of. And also the physical location, as in what rack is this machine in. Now, part of the thinking behind this whole thing came out of reading about the Google file system and the way data is shared across so many nodes and different locations in that. This is operating at a totally different level, obviously, but the general philosophy behind it was what got me thinking along this way. So you might want to do things like say, okay, I want to replicate images of my virtual machines, but I don't want the images to exist in the same physical rack. So you need to keep track of, okay, this rack has these nodes, this rack has these nodes. So whenever you do a backup, prefer to stick it in a different rack. So you've got an extra level of redundancy. Now the thing is that information, you can chop this in a few different ways. If we compare that now to per virtual machine, we want to know some similar information and some different information. So we want to know the RAM allocation. How much memory is this particular VM being assigned? And obviously this maps directly into the nodes. So you've got a bunch of nodes with a certain capacity, you've got a bunch of resource requirements, and you want to make them fit. The other things that we need to know that are different are the desired count. So there might be some images or some virtual machines where you really don't care about them that much. If they go down, who cares? You can bring back up another image from some other source at any point. So you might not want to keep any backup copies around. There are others that are critical. You might want to say, I want to keep 5 copies of this. So you need to specify the desired image count per virtual machine and the run state. So whether you want this machine running or not, because you don't want to shut down a virtual machine and then have your management system go, it's shut down, I'll bring it back up again, and have it keep bringing it back up behind your back. So there are these sorts of little flags that you need to keep track of as well. Then you need per image. So this is the actual image of the virtual machine. There'll probably be multiple images per virtual machine. The actual physical size of that image, which is not necessarily the same as disk allocation. You need to know the location, as in which node that image is on, and you need to know the age. So if you have several copies of a particular image, you want to know which one is the latest. And out of all of this, there's some other information as well that we want to know. We want to know the actual count of images. So we might say, okay, we want three copies of this image, but how many do we really have? Hey, we've got two. Oh no, we'd better copy another one off to somewhere else. How many active instances we've got, you know, the actual run state. Is it that we want it running and it's not running, or vice versa? So there's a whole lot of information that that we need to keep track of. And how to define this is my problem right now. This is what I'm working on. And I'm finding that regular config files are not really a good way to keep track of this sort of information. It can be sliced in so many different ways. And the thing is, a lot of this information we want to propagate between all the different nodes. I don't want to just be editing one config file in one location. I want to make sure that when I make changes to the desired count of a virtual machine, all the nodes know about it. So this is where you get into the issue of one central management node versus a totally decentralized system. And it puts a whole different perspective on things. So what do I need to do next? Decide on the config structure. How am I going to store this information? I started out just writing config files, and I rapidly found I ran into problems with you know, orthogonal views of things. Finalized decentralized execution model, which, I slipped into techno-speak there for a second. So it's close. It actually is, in my day-to-day job, it's actually at the point where it's really useful to me right now, and it saves me a bunch of time. But there is a whole lot more that I really think it should do. So, more questions? There was, yeah, Dave.
Can everyone hear me?
Can now.
Have you looked at the way that Zen deals with, like, it's got this whole RPC interface? Have you looked at using that to get any more information out in terms of what's running, starting stuff, creating stuff, that kind of thing?
Not at this point. Okay. Right now I can get the information I need by, you know, calling XM or things like that.
Okay.
But it would be nice to basically cut that out of the loop and then go behind its back and talk directly to the interface. That sort of thing can be easily swapped out at any point later on, because internally within Zim, it just, you say, okay, get me this information. So we just change the function that does that. Okay, we'll talk afterwards. Excellent. Thanks, David. Yes.
With the config, because that's a relatively small thing, you could use something like Coda or NFS to just distribute that config, and that way you've got one central repository for that, and the individual programs can work off that.
All right, well, here's an off-the-wall suggestion. Something that just occurred to me a couple of days ago. This might be a totally stupid idea. What about using a decentralized revision control system for this? What about set up all of these nodes so that they are... something like that, exactly. So when a configuration change happens, the node does a commit, essentially. So, I don't know, maybe that's a dumb idea, but it could be worth looking at. Sorry, there was... yes?
The talk so far is pretty much 100% Zen.
Yes.
And in terms of managing lots of images, at some point there's going to have to be heterogeneous virtual machines.
Yes.
Where you're going to need to deal with systems that don't necessarily fit within Zen's mindset. Mm-hmm. Are you even considering that at this point? Of the disk image structures look different between different virtual machines and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that thought had crossed my mind, but I haven't even started looking at that yet, because I don't know enough about these various other virtualization systems and the differences between them. I'm approaching this from the point of view of this is my problem and I'm trying to solve it, and there are parts of this that may abstract out to other parallel problems. And if they do, that's cool.
Everyone supports raw images, though, so if you're using raw disk images, you don't have a compatibility issue there.
That's true. So apart from doing things like obtaining state information about running virtual machines, maybe what we need to do is have handlers for various virtualization technologies so that we can check the state of VMware images and Xen images and things like that. But as Russ said, the actual disk images, you could use pretty much any virtualization technology with that. Okay. Yes?
Was Bros. Hi, it was brought up earlier about using why you've gone down this path rather than using conventional network storage.
Yeah.
And it really is a big deal, because there are those times where there's pushback or for financial or other technical reasons, you can't go down that path. But it'd be good for you to highlight some of those reasons why you've made this particular decision.
Okay. Sure.
And perhaps some of those reasons can be overcome.
Absolutely. And one thing I should point out is that shared storage is a better solution in some problem spaces. You know, there was a comment earlier about storing state in virtual machines and things like that. What I'm trying to do is solve it for my particular case, and there will be a lot of people that do have, one reason is financial. It's a lot cheaper to deploy a bunch of nodes where the hardware is very generic. So in this particular case, you can have white box machines with a disk per machine. You've got some Ethernet between them. That's it. Apart from that, basically, it's a software solution, which is what I'm working on. Sorry?
It's Google application.
Yeah, exactly. Other solutions that people go for basically just mean you've got to pull out your wallet. And for a lot of people, that's a problem. I mean, for me, that's a problem. I'm doing this in a commercial context, but I don't want to have to spend money if I don't have to. I'd rather come up with a solution that I can then scale at no incremental cost. Essentially, it's just more hardware in terms of nodes. It's not more expensive nodes each time. So I'll get to you in just a second. The other major reason was the technology problems that I came up against when I was trying to set up the poor man's SAN type approach. I had lots of problems with cluster file systems, and I tried basically everything. I spent, if you're to do things like live migration, you do between nodes. The first approach was basically cluster file system and then have that mounted on multiple Xen nodes, and then you can do relocation of running nodes between them. Sorry?
Yeah,
so you could run X3 or whatever on it and it wouldn't matter. Okay, cool.
So there's no reason you couldn't do the shared storage sort of solution simply by it back here.
Yeah.
Simply by running something like DIBD between your Xen nodes. You don't necessarily need to have a completely separate shared storage infrastructure.
That's true. That's something
you just
that
have
I've
to delegate which other node is going to be your other copy.
Yeah, that was actually an approach that I thought of as well. So in that particular case, it's a very similar architecture, but it's a little bit more rigid. You can't arbitrarily suddenly, well, you could, but it's more work to do set up and tear down. It'd be harder to arbitrarily say, I've got this image, I need to copy it over to that node over there.
Script it.
But you need to basically set up DRBD between those particular nodes and get it all to work. And that's sort of an extra level of hassle. So that would be a valid alternative approach. There was a question up the back somewhere. I just saw it. Yes. OCFS2. I tried. This is a while ago now. I'm trying to remember. There was. I can't even remember the acronyms. GFS. Yep. I tried that. What was the other? Luster. I couldn't get that going. Yeah. I sort of looked at it to the point where I tried a little bit and thought, nah, too hard. The thing is that cluster file systems potentially are really, really cool. And the more I looked into it, the more I thought, we should be using cluster file systems for everything. But then I had some issues. Like, basically, every cluster file system has problems in one particular area. Like, say, OCFS2, for example, you can't do sparse files on it. So you can't do things like store a loopback image of a file, this is a fairly popular thing to do in Xen. Basically, you have a disk image as a loopback file system. Set it up as a sparse file system, then it doesn't take up much room on disk until you start using it. You can't do that on OCFS2. There are problems, GFS had different problems. So basically, whichever way I turned, I found, there are these little gotchas here and there, and they kept coming back to bite me. And that's what made me start thinking, it would be so cool just to be running this on a standard file system, local disk, I don't have to care about all this junk. Yes.
Two things. One, LVM does actually support access from multiple nodes in a cluster, providing you're running something that handles the fencing when you're doing...
Yeah, fencing is the other issue.
Yep, but that's all done. That all apparently just works.
Okay, so is that done, the fencing is done internally to LVM?
You run a daemon that does that takes care of the fencing.
Okay.
The other thing is, in terms of configuration management, you should probably be looking at how parallel file systems do that, because it's a fairly similar problem.
Yeah.
I haven't played with Lustre or GFS or OCFS 2. Mm-hmm. I have played with GPFS, which is IBM's proprietary parallel file system, and it does distributed management and configuration really, really, really well.
Okay.
Steal the techniques, basically, assuming that they're not patented.
That's a whole
move
other rant.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty much running out of time. How are we going for time?
We're done.
We're out of time. Okay. Sorry. Time for no more questions. But if you want to talk to me about this later, come and see me. Thank you.
Thank you.